Counsel for Kirkpatrick versus the Commonwealth. Just as a reminder, please make sure that you've signed in if you haven't already. Ready when you are.
Good, thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Stephen Armstrong, and I represent the appellant in this matter, Mr. Craig Lamont Kirkpatrick. Your Honor, today my argument...
Excuse me, do you wish to reserve any time for rebuttal?
I do, Your Honor. Thank you. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal.
5 minutes, yes, sir.
Today my argument will focus on the fact that the trial court erred in finding that the evidence was sufficient to convict Mr. Kirkpatrick of object sexual penetration, as the Commonwealth presented no evidence of any actual penetration of the complaining witness's vagina or anus as required under the statute.
Counsel, what do you say to the Commonwealth's argument that argument you make on appeal is a subject to 5A18?
Well, and Your Honor, just to piggyback off of the court's original decision and the initial denial of his appeal, citing the medical definition of the word vagina, we would argue, as far as the not preserving that issue on appeal in the interest of justice, we'd present an argument today based on the sufficiency and the elements of the crime.
Did you ask us on brief to consider ends of justice?
I did not believe I did, Your Honor.
Okay.
And that said, Judge, and would the court like a summary of the facts? Is the court familiar with the case?
I think the court's familiar,
yes,
with the case. But isn't this a good example of why 5A18 applies, that if I'm following your argument, as set forth in the brief, you say, well, the use of the word vagina was used in the common sense. It was not in the technical or scientific sense. And if there's that kind of lack of clarity, that's a perfectly good reason why that needs to be cleared up at the trial level. Right?
It is, Your Honor, and as the court may be aware, I was not counsel of record downstairs. That said, piggybacking off the interest of justice argument, at trial, the complaining witness, Ms. Courtney Walker, testified that Mr. Kirkpatrick touched, and this is key to our argument, the outer edge of her vagina. Even if she just said he touched the vagina, we would have to argue that definition, but she says the outer edge of her vagina. The Commonwealth's case for object sexual penetration rests on their opinion that the witness used the word vagina, as the court pointed out in its initial denial, in the medical term, the internal opening leading to the uterus, or in the Commonwealth's reply brief, penetration of the labia majora.
Which is all that's required by statute.
That's correct, Judge. The penetration of the labia majora. Our position is that using the plain language, both the statute of the statute as well as the plain language and understanding of the word and her testimony, that opinion is incorrect. Our position is that when testifying as a whole, the complaint describes her genital area. We don't want to define touching as penetration. When she said the word vagina, she did not, in our opinion, make the scientific or medical distinction of the terms in the statute, vulva, labia, vaginal opening. She used the term vagina the same way that a male victim would use the term penis when referring to someone touching his genital area.
But for us to reach that conclusion, we would have to conclude that this adult woman was not familiar with the correct labels for her anatomy.
That is correct, Judge, and that is the question that the Commonwealth asked and this court asked. How do I know what she meant when she testified? And I'll attempt to describe how I know this, Judge. And we do that by reading the transcripts and noting the chronological order of her testimony using her actual words. The complaining witness describes how Mr. Kirkpatrick, during the usual post-workout rub down and massage that he conducted on her for the last 6 months during all of her training sessions, she begins methodically by describing how he's rubbing her leg. His hand moves up her thigh, her upper thigh, sliding under the elastic of her underwear. Then, as she describes, when she feels, quote, his fingers touch the outer edges of her vagina, she stops him. And she says stops, and the testimony was that he does stop. She doesn't say he fingered me. He does not say that his fingers entered me, does not say that he touched the outer lips. She says outer edges of her vagina. So, Your Honor,
that's not enough to show penetration under Love and all the cases?
Under the cases cited in the Commonwealth's brief and the Commonwealth's position, simple touching does not equal penetration. And our position is that he didn't even touch the labia majora. He touched the outer edges, which, again, in common parlance, may be the pubic mound, close enough to where her alarms are going off. She's already you know, testify that his hand is moving up much farther than he usually does during one of their workout sessions. But when it reaches that outer edge, she says stop, and he does stop. So from that context, Your Honors, the transcripts, her testimony, it's clear from our position she's describing the overall genital area, not the labia majora, and certainly not the opening of the birth canal. The Commonwealth's other witness presented at trial, the witness, her friend, Ms. Walker's friend, Amber Custis, testified that after the incident, that the complaining witness told her that Mr. Kirkpatrick basically touched her vagina area. Again, even then, the Commonwealth's witness, the good friend that she confides in, does not say that he touched her vagina, does not say he penetrated her in any way. She says that she said, he touched my vagina area. And that's consistent with what she testified to under oath. Now, it should be noted, Your Honors, Mr. Kirkpatrick, who testified in his own behalf at trial, to this day denies this ever happened. He denies that the touching ever occurred. However, should the court discount his testimony and find Ms. Walker credible and take her at her word, the everyday context of the plain language of her testimony, the allegations are more of a sexual battery. There just simply is not penetration, and we'd argue not even a touching. And certainly touching, we mustn't determine with this ruling that touching equals penetration. Again, Judge, I think I used in my brief the argument that I'd be convicting someone of malicious wounding because the assailant touched the victim with his knife instead of actually cutting him. So, Judges, for the foregoing reasons, we respectfully request the court grant the appeal. Thank you.
Very well, thank you. Ms. Kiernan.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Elizabeth Kiernan on behalf of the Commonwealth. As the Court has pointed out, this issue is barred by Rule 518. At trial, the defendant's argument focused exclusively on the use of force and that the penetration was accomplished by force, threat, or intimidation. That was his argument at the motion to strike stage. That was his argument in conclusion. The issue of sufficiency to prove penetration was simply not raised at trial and cannot be a basis for reversal before this court today. The defendant's attempt to evoke the ends of justice before you today is not sufficient for this court to reach the merits. Mere insufficiency to prove an element does not get you to the ends of justice. This issue is not briefed because the defendant did not request in his brief that the court reach this issue through the ends of justice. However, this court has ruled in Jimenez versus Commonwealth that in order to get the ends of justice, you have to show that the record has to affirmatively show that an element did not occur. In that case, it was a notice issue, written notice versus actual notice. In this case, the defendant cannot affirmatively prove on this record that an element of offense did not occur. The element of penetration in this case did in fact occur. The victim testified that the defendant touched the outer edge of her vagina. The vagina lies within the labia majora, as this court has noted on multiple occasions. Therefore, by necessity, if the victim's outer edge of her vagina was touched, the labia majora were penetrated. The trial court in this case found the victim to be a credible and intelligent witness. She was 28 years old at the time she testified, and there's no suggestion in the record that she was not familiar enough with her own anatomy to describe what happened to her. This court has held, as we've talked about, that penetration need only be slight. And again, the victim testified the defendant moved his fingers around while he was touching the outer edge of her vagina. Again, vaginal penetration is not necessary. So it's not necessary for the Commonwealth to prove that the defendant's fingers entered the victim's vagina. Merely having his hands in that position means that he penetrated the labia majora, sufficient to prove penetration in this case. If the court has any questions, I'm happy to address them. Thank you, Your Honor. I ask you to affirm.
Thank you. Any rebuttal?
Just briefly,
yes, sir. Your Honor, I'll just close by saying the insufficiency of proving an element of the crime is the very definition of the ends of justice. That's what we're seeking today. At least the Commonwealth is not arguing, we're not here in a position to argue the definition of a vagina, but to counter what she had mentioned in her argument, Judge, there's been no evidence that the labia majora was even touched. We're going on the defendant's honest testimony, the victim's honest testimony, the outer edge, and certainly no penetration had occurred. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, in these mirror cases, we'll pause and...